tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's August 13th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start things off by letting you know that today's episode is brought to you by Retrospec, the makers of sleek, powerful e-bikes and outdoor gear built for everyday adventures. What started out as a few bikes in a tiny LA apartment has grown into a full lineup of high-quality, accessible gear designed to get more people moving, from paddleboards and kids' bikes to their standout line of electric bicycles. If you're ready to upgrade your everyday ride, check out Retrospec's viral city e-bike, the Beaumont Rev 2, made with a vintage-inspired frame design and modern electric features that wow, all for just $9.99. Retrospec's collection has something for everyone, from rugged fat tire e-bikes to compact commuters to e-trikes and folding models that move with you wherever you go. Electrek listeners get 10% off their next ride until August 14th with the exclusive code ELECTREK10, only at retrospec.com. We'll have links to that at the show notes. And don't forget to tag your ride when you hit the road. Snap a shot and share your outdoor moments with hashtag ReadyToOutdoor for a chance to get featured. Thank you to Retrospec for sponsoring. You guys have today and tomorrow to take advantage of that extra 10% off, so be sure to do that. Now, this episode is all about electric fuel. We are thinking about electrons as electricity. We're thinking of batteries as fuel tanks, and I think that's going to help a lot of non-EV people, non-enthusiasts, to really wrap their brains around electrification. The new EV totem from Blink could solve electric fuel's biggest problem. This is an article that I wrote last night. This is a story about a new product from Blink Charging. They've been in the industry for a long, long time. But what makes it different is that it puts the charging station big screen, about a 55-inch TV, basically 10 feet up in the air, so you can see it for a long, long distance away. And then there are thousands of public chargers already out there, and in some places, there are more plugs than pumps. But if you don't drive an EV, you'd never know it. That's because gas stations don't just exist. They announce themselves with giant illuminated signs that can be seen for miles, while EV chargers tend to sort of sit nestled away in the back of a parking lot. If you were on a road trip and your fuel tank was low, how confident would you be in your ability to find gas if you were greeted by the sight of Breezewood, Pennsylvania? We might shake our heads at late adopters of EVs. We might dismiss the things we don't notice ourselves, but the fact remains that my father-in-law can drive from sea to shining sea with no plan, no map, no app, and feel secure in his ability to find gas. Now, can you really honestly say that you feel that way about electric charging, no matter how many years you've been driving an EV, without an app, without any of that kind of stuff, without a plan? You really don't know what you're getting yourself into. So imagine all of those thousands of EV chargers that you and I both know intellectually are out there. Imagine they were Blink EV totems. They were 20 feet tall, fully illuminated, and proclaiming just as loud as the gas stations, hey, if you needed a safe place to sit, charge, put your feet up, get a snack, you could do that right here. I think just about everybody who's not intimately familiar with EVs already would be very excited about that. Co-developed by Blink Charging and Universal Media, the EV Totem concept combines Blink car chargers with elevated 55-inch screens to help maximize their eye-catching visibility. It's a clever solution, and while we've seen chargers with screens before, lifting the screens up above the cars in a parking lot makes them significantly more visible. That said, it's 2025, everything is terrible, so instead of the EV Totem simply announcing the availability of reliable EV charging or educating consumers about off-peak savings and duck curves, they're designed instead to serve nonstop advertising. Quote, the EV Totem is designed to transform EV charging into a smarter, connected platform, one that delivers value for drivers. We're unlocking new opportunities for brands, property partners, and communities. That's according to Todd Cohen, the co-founder and CEO of Universal Media LLC, and he says it without even a hint of remorse. You can see these now at the Mountain View Village, which is a strip mall in Salt Lake City, Utah. Let us know what you think of those. But at the end of the day, what's crucially important here is that visibility matters. Electric charging stations are almost totally invisible in real life. And what that means for most drivers, especially internal combustion drivers, is that unless they're in a Tesla or already using a third-party app, they might have a tough time seeing public charging stations, even if they're relatively close as the crow flies. and even if they're plentiful. The reality is that all those signs advertising gasoline create confidence on a subliminal level that gas, snacks, and restrooms are everywhere. Meanwhile, the EV charging signs, where they exist at all, are just too small and too bashful to be effective. EV charging is invisible to generations of ICE drivers, and we, as EV ambassadors, need to put ourselves in those drivers' shoes, meet them where they are, and demand that electric fuel industry do a better job of selling that same institutional kind of confidence. Now, some of this is tied to range anxiety, so of course it's worth noting that we have a new world record-setting Chevy Silverado EV work truck. We talked about this a little bit last week, where the truck went 1,059.2 miles on a single charge. This was a relatively unmodified Chevy Silverado. They put a tonneau cover on it. Now, the real big modifier here was that the car was driven incredibly slowly, about 20 miles an hour, and that the AC, the HVAC control system, was not on. So it was basically just ambient temperature. And doing that with the massive battery in a Silverado, that gets you 1,059.2 miles. Now, interestingly enough, the guys at Chargeway, which has an advanced trip planning solution that allows you to specify the temperature where you're driving and the average speed that you're going to be driving, got within 99% of the actual real-world test in terms of accuracy. And actually, it's even closer than that, because if you look at the results, it's telling you 1,056 miles, but it's still leaving minimum charge on arrival at 10%. So the Silverado in real life actually went a little bit further and dove below that 10% ratio. But yeah, regardless of that, absolutely cool to see this. Obviously, big fan of Chargeway. And of course, always a pleasure to have my good friend, Matt Tess. Every time we start these, I get the giggles. I can never go into a smooth introduction, but I am here with my former co-host from the Electrify News podcast, my very, very dear friend, Matt Teske, the founder, CEO, and all-around techno guru wizard guy of Chargeway. Matt, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, always, man. We should just do this show anyway, just talk about NASA and nonsense and corgis. The point of this call, the reason for this call, is, of course, the Chevy Silverado EV that the good people at GM drove 1,059 miles and largely unmodified, right? So the question of whether or not this made sense, whether or not the maths, you know, when it comes to EVs and understanding how they work and their range and charging, you are undeniably the expert. So, yeah, walk us through how they got there.
Well, yeah, it was a few just little tricks, but they really didn't, to your point, they didn't modify anything really all too extensively. It was really more so just the practice they had of the strategy of how they would drive the truck. And so, you know, they added a tonneau cover to, you know, to help with aerodynamics, and they also inflated the tires up pretty high. But beyond that, the only other, you know, tactic they used was they drove slow, and they didn't use the climate controls to draw energy off of the battery in the system of the car for either heating or cooling. So they just let the battery just propel. And with that at a low speed, they were able to achieve what they noted was, 1,059.2 miles, I think, is what they got. And it was over a period of 7 days. They had multiple engineers take part in the exercise. But at the end of the day, what they proved out was, I mean, at the end of the day, they can, you know, we can be efficient with EVs if you're not driving it at 90 miles an hour. Yeah. Physics is physics at that point. But the cool factor around that is this is something that we've been calculating within, you know, the Chargeway mobile app for years, which is exactly how far can you go in the EV that you're driving based on current conditions. And that's something that, you know, this was a real world test to showcase that. And the fun part for us is we just looked at the vehicle, we looked at what they did with their settings, and we said, all right, let's drop that into the Chargeway trip planner where you can adjust your temperature and speed and see what you would get. And the Chargeway trip planner was within 99% accuracy of what they saw in the real world. So it was a really cool validation for Chargeway and the mobile app for what we have. But also, you know, again, it showcases just how you can think about using your car to get the most range out of it.
I want to go back in time to the 2008-2009 era when you first started to see hypermiling, at least on, you know, websites like the websites I was associated with, like the early Gas 2, Popular Mechanics, yeah. Clean Technica, that kind of stuff, where people were trying to get the maximum miles per gallon out of it. So now we're talking about getting the maximum miles per kilowatt, right? So is
per
that
kilowatt hour?
Per kilowatt hour. Specific, yeah, no, because it's electric and the commenters eat me alive. For
I was
sure.
going to say, I caught them, guys.
Is this something where, like, I've downloaded Chargeway, I've got the Chargeway app, I can start loading up vehicles and trying out different scenarios and see which ones will go, like, you know, if I had a Kia EV6 in there and I said, okay, I'm going to go 60 degree, no AC, and this is going to tell me, yeah, this thing will go 600 miles.
Well, that's the point is how do people naturally think about how they're driving? And we've set that up in the system so it's not overly complicated. I think that's really the key is if you add in too many factors by which you can adjust for what your range can look like, it starts to overwhelm. There's some other tools out there that have a lot of, you know, functionality for different little factors you can put in. But you know, for the everyday driver, that really starts to get a little bit scary. What we found through this test that Chevrolet did with the Silverado EV is it's, you know, down to basics, what is the most important factor? And what that is how fast you're driving the car, then also what's happening with the temperature. And the temperature really is about ambient temperature outside combined with how you're leveraging the internals of the vehicle for how you're using climate, whether that's heat, you know, heating or cooling. And so we take all that into consideration based on you tell us what the temperature is outside and how fast you want to drive. And we can extrapolate all those factors out to give you that new estimated maximum range. It showcases that each of these vehicles has an efficiency to it, right? What are the miles per kilowatt hour you're seeing out of any vehicle? And something like the Silverado EV, you know, it has a low EPA rated range compared to the miles per kilowatt hour it has. The battery's huge, but physics, you can't fight it. It's just massive battery, low miles per kilowatt hour. But you can start to mess with that if you drive slower and don't use climate control. So that applies across the board to EVs in general because each of these EVs' EPA rated ranges are effectively a mile per kilowatt hour rating behind when you do the math. And so that's what we're doing on our side is just taking all those factors in consideration and then looking at the EPA rated range and then adjusting it accordingly.
I don't want to turn this thing into like a whole commercial for Chargeway, but that's what we end up doing half the time we do any of these anyway. So it's fine. People
it's
by now.
It's a useful app.
It's a useful app for sure. One of the things that I have really liked about it, and especially as I'm like kind of training my other little EV buddies, the little people who are just getting into EVs in my life and are buying their first one, is breaking them of the notion that they charge when they're empty and they start driving again when it's full. This idea of you're going to pull off the highway when you're at 30%, you're going to plug in for 11 minutes, you're going to roll out of there at 82%, and you're going to drive another 200 miles. That is something that if you are able to sort of get them out of that mindset of empty, full, of a binary mindset, I think that is one of the things that really makes a successful EV adopter, right? Because there's always the people who buy it, who refuse to change their behavior. They start looking for chargers at a quarter tank. They sit there until it's full and they have a miserable experience because they're driving it the same way they do, you know, an internal combustion vehicle. Are you finding that as more people adopt Chargeway and more people have real life experience with EVs, that they're starting to get away from that? Or is that still something that you're kind of struggling to get through people's heads?
That's a consumer psychology question. And there's a lot of conditioning that drivers have had for decades around how they, quote, fill up, right? So it's not something we're going to change overnight. I think the thing that we're trying to accomplish through Chargeway is do as much thinking for the driver as possible, create a user experience with their vehicle around the efficiencies we want them to use, right? So a good example of that is anytime you add a pure electric car to Chargeway, we set the charge limit where you can adjust the battery. For example, you can adjust the battery up and down of the car manually to then go to a station to see where your charge time will be at a given station. In the background, we're doing a lot of calculations for the driver based on what's the charge curve of that vehicle, what's the voltage of the vehicle's battery pack, what is the estimated charging time we can give them that's akin to real-world experiences. That's all meant to get away from what you just described, which is, no, I got to do it the way that I've always done it for filling up. We're trying to give them a sense of, look, if you go there, it's going to be a 20, 25 minute fill up at this location because of what you told us about your car. And for the most part, I think, you know, EV drivers, as they drive their cars, they understand that. I think the industry has done a poor job of trying to explain that because consumers don't like being told you can only get 80% of the product you want.
Sure.
Like that's a weird, like if you went to McDonald's and said, I'll have a Big Mac and you get it and there's a bite out of it. And you go,
that's quality control, man.
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. That's quality control. But I mean, but that's the thing is like people, it's hard to tell them, hey, in your car you've had before, you could fill up to 100%. But in this car, yeah, you can only fill up to 80%. It's a weird thing to market to the public. And I don't think that's been an effective, we're not going to train people in that way, I think. And so battery chemistries like, you know, LFP compared to lithium ion and, you know, and NMC, for example, we're getting a little bit in the weeds here on the technicalities, but
that's okay.
The battery technology is part of what we're seeing with that kind of flipping. Like if you have an LFP battery, whether it's Ford for the Mustang standard range or, you know, even for some Teslas, they're like, look, charge that to 100%. Like that's what we want you to charge 100%. That's how that battery chemistry should cycle. If it's NMC, then it's like, charge that to 80, only do 100% if you're road tripping. These little factors to me are where we get these complaints from drivers around why are there deficiencies in owning this thing? And so yeah. I think that is going to be something as battery chemistries change and evolve and improve, as we've already seen in the last few years, that will start to go away. At the same time too, though, you really don't need to drive it down to 1% and go to 100 every time. So in our trip planner, for example, once you've told us where you want to start from, where you want to go, what midpoints you have, what vehicle you're driving, all that stuff, we're not going to have you charging up to 100% when you stop, obviously. The math we're going to do is how do we leapfrog you through charging stations to create the fastest charging experience and most efficient trip?
You know, you're talking about consumer psychology. We're talking about changing that and doing the thinking for the driver of the EV on the backside. Have you thought about marketing this as like your AI pocket buddy? Like, let this do the thinking for you.
Yeah. And I think the AI feels like it's, you know, it's the current, hot topic.
Want $1 billion valuation for ChargeWay. I think this is how you get it.
Well, I got to tell you though. No, I mean, the way that I've explained this to people, I tell them like, I'm like, there is AI like throughout ChargeWay software. It is embedded. It is all through it. And here's how I can explain how and why. Anybody I'm talking about it might say like, it's like, so exactly like, how is that artificial intelligence? I'm like, oh no, it's actual intelligence, because it's not this gaming of like, okay, this is a language model learning system around, you know, understanding what charging might be. And it's just going to regurgitate back out something. The most important thing we want to showcase people is we built a platform that is very thoughtful. It's intelligent in the sense that we as product developers of ChargeWay and EV drivers, we knew what we had to translate. We also then created what we feel is the most intuitive solution to explain all this craziness to people. So is there AI in ChargeWay? Yeah, there's actual intelligence in it. I mean, is there artificial intelligence in it? Yeah, sure. There's a lot of code in there too. So
yeah, I don't know. I think that's the answer. We gotta get that chargeway.ai URL and that'll swing it for you.
Right. Well, I think the thing that's really important to point out is of all the other platforms that are out there where you can find charging, it could be Google, it could be PlugShare, it could be various charging networks, you know, they have their own mobile platforms. You know, they all want you to go into like their experience and that's what you'll see. The unique factor of ChargeWay is once you've added your car to ChargeWay, the amount of thinking that our platform is doing on your behalf based on the car you've selected and how our technology and software knows what your car is capable of and then marries that to what stations are capable of with your car, that then automates it down into, if you adjust your battery down to 5% and tell us you want to go to 80, you can tap on any public charging station by seeing power levels on the map 1 through 7, which we use through ChargeWay, to then understand how a level 7 charger will be for a wait time compared to a level 5 or a level 3 or a level 4. That is very unique in helping someone understand how to navigate this chaos. Because once they know, I can just adjust my battery and then understand what my experience will be at any station I click on the map, we're just graduating into a better data-driven experience around charging. It still requires user feedback, don't get me wrong, but I think we have created something that's a lot more effective in the way that newcomers will feel more confident.
That's a great point about newcomers feeling confident. I have been struggling with people buying their first EV and they think that, okay, I've got this Ford Mustang Mach-E, I can take it to any supercharger. And then they're handed this adapter in a case. Yeah. They go, cool, I can use the adapter at any supercharger. And that's not even true, right? There's only like some of the newer ones that you can use it at. So I think people are getting really, really confused. So obviously anything that we can do I'm going to help you with some free marketing here. Anything we can do to get the AI behind ChargeWay to solve these problems for them.
Well, the cool thing about adapters is inside of ChargeWay, from day one when we launched the platform, and this is over 6-7 years ago now, is for Tesla owners, we gave them the option to say, I have this adapter and I'm just going to hit a switch, turn it on, and I'm going to go to the station.
Oh, yeah, the CCS adapter. Yeah.
Well, this is pre-CCS. This is back when Tesla owners could only do CHAdeMO or J1772.
Oh, and dang.
In chargeway lingo, that's green level 1 and 2 for J1772 or blue stations for CHAdeMO. And so what we found was that this was an important way to meet people where they were in their understanding of things. Instead of saying, here's a bunch of connectors, you get to just turn ones on and off after you learn what the shape is and the schematic drawing and whatever, we just said, no, let's keep this simple. Is in your filters, you can go to adapters, and for vehicles that have access to Tesla superchargers, you just turn on your red fast adapter. Red being the plug type for Tesla, fast being it's for superchargers. Once you turn that on, the stations you then see on the map that are red pins up to levels, you know, at level 7 in chargeway, that shows you then the stations you can use with that red fast adapter you now have for your car. We don't show you those superchargers that you cannot use because of reasons of software, because they're older and they're for Tesla only. You will never see those when you turn on that adapter. So you don't have to manually figure out which ones work for you and then tap on a pin and read about if you can use it. Chargeway is smart enough to tell you once you hit this switch, you can be assured that when you get there, you can use it. And that's a part of that consumer confidence that, again, we're building a thoughtful product for drivers. So
I love it. I think that that is definitely something that needs to get more play and more publicity. And I
appreciate it.
I don't know. I should probably take that personally and make that one of my various missions in life. Matt, this was awesome. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to find me another EV that you think will go 1,000 miles. Don't spend too much time on that, but I think that'd be a fun exercise to put in chargeway. And then we'll try to make somebody, we'll get one of the readers to test it out and see if they can do it. Yeah, do it. Heck, somebody is listening to this right now in a Porsche Taycan going, I bet I could get this thing to go 780 at least.
Hey, so, if you're going 20 miles an hour, you're going to get some extra range, baby.
Well, you remember that. There was a Porsche Taycan a couple years ago that did that cross-country trip, and they only stopped to charge for like 2.5 hours because they were going on these like really low-speed drives.
Yeah, it was kind of like slow cannonball, right? And so – it's, yeah, I don't know what you would call that. Yeah.
So, what's the Hunter Thompson line? It's better to be shot out of a cannon than squeezed out of a tube. the tube squeeze 1,000.
The tube squeeze 1,000. Yeah, the toothpaste 1,000.
Yeah.
So, no, but this is what we're seeing. Again, on one hand, it's kind of clickbaity of like, hey, this truck went 1,000 miles on a charge. And then you read the fine print of how. So it's getting a discussion going about the fact that you can get these vehicles to go the distance if you're thoughtful about your efficiency, which is fine, I think. But it also sets, I think, up a conversation where someone who's, you know, reading it for the first time and doesn't own an EV might say, that's nice you did that, but I don't want to drive 20 miles an hour. So every time there's this kind of perceived win around, look what we did for EVs, it can create a conversation that isn't actually beneficial to getting more people to say, oh, that's awesome. So, I think this was in response to what Lucid did in Europe with their test with the Air, where they got 700 plus miles out of a charge as well.
Yeah.
So there are vehicles out there that can do it. So, I mean, my question to everybody is, hey, download Chargeway, put your favorite EV in, put any EV in you want, and then see what you can adjust in the trip planner to see what kind of max range it can get in certain conditions. And yeah, give it a shot.
I like that. That's a better angle. So we'll have the commenters, whoever can find the highest range.
Yeah.
And then we'll sponsor you to do the tube squeeze 1,000 in real life. That'd be great. I think we've peaked at this one.
Yeah, no, that's cool, dude. Yeah. So
I could love the tube squeeze 1,000. Always fun to have Matt on the show. He's a great guest. And of course, Chargeway is a great app. Strongly recommend it. But, you know, we like to end these shows talking about sustainability, talking about the grid. Today, we're going to talk about something grid adjacent that's still kind of on the theme of the Chevy Silverado, McKinstry. McKinstry Construction is powering up its fleet with 100 Chevy Silverado EV work trucks. McKinstry, of course, famous as a national construction firm that works on LEED buildings, energy efficiency buildings. They call themselves the partner you want when you go to decarbonize. And this is a really interesting story, primarily because of the early criticisms of the one-piece avalanche-style bodywork on the range record-setting Silverado EV, compared to a more conventional separate cab and bed of the F-150 Lightning. Originally, a lot of people, myself included, wrote stories saying that the Silverado was not going to be an effective work truck. It was going to be primarily a suburban runabout, a sort of like a street truck. Well, these guys are proving us wrong because they have gone to the trouble of working with upfitters like Milwaukee, like Range, like others, to make these into real usable work trucks with still a full bed, that flexibility of that fold down midsection, and all the tools that you need to get the job done. This is really neat stuff. We've got bed rail mounted lock boxes, a sturdy roof rack, and again, that Frunk mounted Milwaukee tool set. So definitely check that out. There's a couple of deals on there as well for Costco members interested in getting one of these trucks for their business. So head on over to electric.co. Use the link in the show notes if you're coming to us from YouTube, or if you are on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just head on over to electric.co and do a search for Quick Charge. That's all I've got for today. Be sure to like and subscribe, and we'll see you again tomorrow.